I'm continuing to lead us up to the book of Nehemiah by preaching from the prophecies and the history that are part of the exile. Today I'll be preaching from Daniel chapter 9. I'll read verses 1 through 19. Please listen as I read God's word. In the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. I think many of you know the story of Daniel and the lion's den. The children especially might know this story. It is often told and it's very memorable. Daniel was thrown into a den full of lions. But what happened? God shut the lions' mouths and he delivered Daniel. But do you remember why he was thrown into the lion's den? The Persian wise men were jealous of Daniel. He had been raised to a high position and they were jealous. They decided that they were going to get rid of Daniel. And so they searched for reasons that they could accuse him. They searched for ways that they could get rid of him. But they couldn't find anything. And so they decided to trap him. The one thing that they saw about him, that they noticed, was that every day, three times every day, Daniel went into his room and he prayed to the Lord his God. Aha! Here is how we will trap Daniel. They went to the king and they flattered him. They said to King Darius, "Go, king, you are so great that everybody should pray to you rather than to anyone else. We should have a law like that." And Darius was flattered that he made such a law that no one should pray except to pray to him. And now, Daniel was trapped. Anyone that would pray was threatened with death. Death by lions. But did that scare Daniel? Did he stop praying? No, he didn't. He continued to pray. And there's more to this. Why was Daniel praying? You can read the story in Daniel 6, and it says it was his custom to pray like this. But there's another reason too. It comes in Daniel chapter 9. Now, something you have to understand here, Daniel has brought his book together in a way that's not chronological. In other words, he tells some things at the first part of the book that happen after the second part of the book. And in Daniel chapter 9, he says that this prayer of his happens in the very first year of King Darius. So we think that it probably happens before he was thrown to the lions. And in Daniel chapter 9, we find that he had a special reason to pray. He read in God's word that the Lord had set the time of the desolation of Jerusalem to be 70 years. I preached about this in Jeremiah, that they were to be in exile for 70 years, and then that the Lord would remember them and bring them back. That helped the exiles to know that the Lord was watching over them, even while they were in captivity. It helped them to bloom where they were planted, but then to know that the Lord would deliver them and bring them back to Jerusalem, and that he would ultimately send the Redeemer that was promised, to send Jesus. And so Daniel, as he reads the book of Jeremiah, understands that the 70 years is coming to an end. And so what does he do? He prays like he's never prayed before. He prays in confession. He prays based on the promise of God in Jeremiah that he would remember his covenant and bring them back. He prays based on the promises given to Moses even hundreds of years earlier. The promise of God was that if when you are in captivity, you pray to me, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will bring you back. And so based on those promises, Daniel is motivated to pray. You all have endured difficulties in life, trials that seem to never end. You all have groaned under the weight of dark days. Sometimes you have cried out to the Lord, how long, O Lord, will this go on? Like Daniel, I hope that you find in God's Word and in His promises reasons to cry out to Him, reasons and motivations to pray. But more specifically today, I want you to focus on Daniel's prayer of confession, especially the confessions of national sins. I'm going to focus on how Daniel prays for the people of God, for the nation of Israel. And that will be my emphasis today. On the back of the bulletin, you can find an outline that summarizes this message as this. Understanding God's promises prompts you to pray in confession and to ask for mercy for our nation. To pray in confession for our nation and to ask for mercy. I hope you noticed and found that Daniel's prayer is a striking example of a prayer of confession. I'm going to call your attention to four different characteristics to his prayer of confession. The first is that Daniel humbled himself before the Lord. Daniel humbled himself before the Lord. This is the first act of confession, to humble yourself before the Lord. It's striking because Daniel had gone through the atrocities of war. He was just a young boy when the Babylonian soldiers came in to Jerusalem. The victories of a war lead you to see sights that you will never forget. Some of the books of history will describe those atrocities. And it's not a pretty picture. And Daniel was a young boy when he witnessed all of those things. And he was taken away as a captive, away from Jerusalem, away from the land of promise, away from the temple. It could well have happened that Daniel and others would walk away from the faith at that point. They could have become bitter against God, asking, why would God allow this to happen? He could have reasoned that God was weak, that God was angry and was not to be loved. He could have grown cold in heart towards the God of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He could have abandoned the true religion. But he did not. By God's grace, Daniel persevered in faith. God held on to him so that even through those atrocities, Daniel understood that the Lord, He is God. Because of that, he could approach God acknowledging that He is God, that hadn't changed because of the bad circumstances that Israel was in. He is great. He is still worthy of worship. So his opening words are this, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandment. Those are amazing words for an exiled people. Even in defeat, Daniel acknowledges God. Even under discipline, Daniel humbles himself before God. When I think of my own prayer life, in the light of Daniel's humility, I have to hang my head in shame sometimes. How often I approach God with a chip on my shoulder. How often I approach God with my own selfish designs and my own selfish ambitions being wounded. And I come to God asking and complaining. Why, God, did you allow that to happen? Why didn't you see the wisdom of my ways and grant my requests? I found that many young people today go even further. They may go through something bad and decide that God is the problem and walk away. They may point their finger at the church and so leave. Bitterness consumes them, and they do not follow God as Daniel did. They cannot bring themselves to bow before the Lord in humility. But that is the first act of confession. It comes from a heart that has been changed. Ezekiel spoke of the natural condition of man's heart as being a heart of stone, right? But what does God do? He changes a heart of stone to be a heart of flesh. A heart of stone does not recognize our own condition as being sinful. A heart of stone does not recognize a holy God and how His righteousness deserves justice. But a heart of flesh recognizes these things and comes before the Lord in humility. And that's our first step in a prayer of confession, to follow Daniel, to humble yourself before the Lord. The second striking aspect of Daniel's prayer is that he confesses national sins. As I read through this, I have often found this to be a striking confession. Daniel doesn't try to cover over anything. He doesn't deny the ugly facts of what has happened in Israel's history. Instead, he admits them and brings them before the Lord in confession. He does this as not just an outside observer pointing his finger at other people and their sins. He speaks as a part of Israel. And he speaks as a leader of Israel. You can tell that by the words that Daniel uses in his prayer. He could have very easily have tried to distance himself from all that had happened beforehand. Remember, he was a young boy when they went into captivity. He could have said, look at what our former leaders did. They were wicked in the eyes of the Lord. The king and the priests and the people, they all did what was wrong. But that's not me, O Lord. That's not me. Deliver us, because we're different from the generations before. Is that what Daniel did? It isn't, is it? I'm going to read a few of these verses again, and I want you to listen to the words he uses. I'm going to emphasize them. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name. Daniel's prayer continues in a similar fashion. We have sinned. He even speaks not just of sins of the past, but sins of the present. He recognizes from the words of Jeremiah that the time of that desolation is coming to an end. But he can say, we have still not cried out to you. And here he interacts with the prophecy of Moses. He remembers the promise of Moses to send the curse of God if they sinned. That's part of the declaration in Deuteronomy. The Lord told them that in this covenant, that if they rebelled, He would visit them in judgment. He would scatter them by the armies of the nations. He would send them into exile. But if they repented, if even in those far off countries, if they turned their face to the Lord and cried out to Him, God promised to hear. And Daniel interacts with that and says, even now, O Lord, we have not called out to you in repentance. And so Daniel, as a member of the nation of Israel, as a leader of the nation of Israel, he prays in a way that identifies his own guilt and the guilt of the nation. This sets an important example for us today. It's easy to know that we ought to pray for our nation. It's easy to know that our nation is departing from the ways of the Lord and is sinning in many ways. It's easy to ask God to forgive our nation. But we can't stop there. The way you pray must also follow Daniel. We must also confess the sins of our nation and identify ourselves with that corporate guilt. It is easy to distance ourselves, isn't it? To say, that's not us. And there is some truth in it. There are specific sins that we can say that we have not personally practiced. But Daniel sets an example that says, corporately, as a people, as a nation, we must humble ourselves before the Lord. We must identify as a people with a rebellious people and confess personally, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. It leads to a third characteristic. Daniel confesses specific sins. Daniel calls attention to two particular ways that they had sinned. First, that they had departed from God's precepts and judgments. In other words, they broke God's commandments. He says it in several places. You can see it in verse 10 especially. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws which He set before us. So Daniel confesses specifically that they were lawbreakers. They broke the Ten Commandments and the laws that were attached to them. Secondly, Daniel confesses that they did not listen to the prophets God sent to warn them. The Lord had been very patient. He had been long-suffering with their disobedience. Many times God had sent prophets to call them back from the brink of their rebellion. And we have seen that the children of Israel had plugged their ears. They had hardened their hearts against those warnings. They did not listen to the prophets. And even in their exile, they would not listen to Jeremiah, who called them to repent even then and to pray for their restoration. This also sets an example before us today, too, to confess sins specifically. I would urge you to take this heart personally and to take it to heart nationally. You could take this to heart personally because each day we walk in that glorious agony of being already children of God, but not yet sanctified. We still sin. We still sin. And when you sin, it is appropriate, and more than appropriate, it is important for you to recognize that sin specifically and to confess it specifically. If God's Spirit convicts you of losing your temper with your children, confess that to the Lord and to those you have sinned against. If you and your spouse have a brokenness between you and there's sin that has risen up, then as God's Spirit convicts you of sin, specifically repent of those sins to the Lord and to your spouse. Humble yourself before the Lord and go to your spouse humbly and tell them what you have sinned, how you have sinned against them, and ask their forgiveness. If you have rebelled against your parents, if you have rebelled against your teachers, you've rebelled against your neighbors or your leaders, confess those sins. Confess them specifically. And then recognize that God has also given special people in your life to help you to understand the ways of the Lord. He's given special people in your life to even call you to confession. Your parents, your pastor, your elders. These are people that watch over your souls. If they ever confront you, then remember this passage. Remember that God has given them a charge to watch over you. And do not harden your heart. Instead, hear their call to repentance. And recognize the ways you have specifically sinned and confess those specifically. You can also take this to heart nationally. As a nation, we have broken God's laws. As a nation, we have done wickedly. So we pray that God would forgive us as a nation, that He would turn us away from national rebellion against Him. And we pray for specific sins. Many are obvious, others are more subtle. You could hear those reflected in the words of our elders as we pray each week, as we confess the sins of our nation. You can take those to heart as well and pray specifically for our nation and pray for specific forgiveness. In addition, we have plugged our ears to God's messengers. More and more as a nation, we hide our eyes from God's word and we silence God's messengers. We have sinned and continue down a path of further silencing the messengers and silencing God's word. I urge you to pray earnestly for our country, that He would revive our nation and that we would not silence the message of the gospel. Pray confessing sins specifically. And then finally, pray for mercy. Daniel concludes his prayer by asking God to show mercy. I love the simple way that he does this. He uses these terms to describe his request. Let your anger and your fury be turned away. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see. Those are very simple terms. But at the same time, Daniel makes a very powerful appeal. His prayer stands on the promises of God. I've already called your attention to the words of Jeremiah. And I've alluded to the words of Moses. Daniel looks at those promises and he sees great reason to pray. God has promised to show mercy to His people. Mercy to the nation of Israel directly. And Daniel, in that Old Testament circumstance, has very specific promises that he can pray, especially about their return to Jerusalem. Now remember, that return is significant of something more. It's significant of the mercy that God would show eventually in Jesus. This is the powerful promise that Daniel prays. He appeals to a God who has shown all throughout Scripture that He will show mercy to sinners in Jesus Christ. Based on that promise, Daniel prays for the nation of Israel that He would show mercy, that He would make His face shine once more on Israel, and shine eventually in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel's prayer for the nation has specific application for the Jews. It's an application that our nation doesn't have the same types of specific promises. But we still can pray the promises of God for our nation today. I'll give you a few examples and encourage you to think about this throughout the coming week. What are the promises about nations that the Bible gives? Here are just a few. I encourage you to pray for what Psalm 2 speaks of, that the nations would kiss the Son and give worship to Him. I encourage you to pray what Paul speaks of in Romans chapters 9 through 11. There he talks about the grafting in of the Gentiles. We pray for the gospel to come, to go to the ends of the earth. That includes the United States and Canada and Mexico and China and Japan and all around the world. We can pray for the United States. We can pray individually and nationally. We can also pray what Paul speaks of in Romans 9 through 11 of the conversion of the Jews. They are part of our country. They are part of us as a people group, but God still has particular plans for the ethnic Jews. Pray for them as part of our nation, that God would bring them to conversion. We can pray for what the Apostle John saw in Revelation 21. We pray that nations would walk in the light of the Lord, the kings of the earth would bring their glory into the New Jerusalem. There, kings and princes are described as casting their crowns before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Oh, may it be that the Lord would show us mercy. May it be that God would forgive our sins, the sins of our nation. May it be that He would act for His own sake, and in doing so gain great glory in our nation now and forevermore. Amen. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. O Lord God, we have shame all over us. You are righteous and glorious, but we are ashamed because we as a nation have sinned against You. O God, we come before You and we beg for Your mercy, not based on our own goodness, not because we deserve anything, but we pray, even as Daniel prayed, based on Your great glory, based on Your righteousness, and based on Your promises. We pray, O Lord, that You would show us mercy. O Lord, we have sinned. We as a nation have refused to acknowledge You as being sovereign over us as a country. We have conspired against Jesus Christ, Your Son. We've conspired to throw off Your law and Your leadership. And, O Lord, we have committed specific sins of abortion, of homosexuality, specific sins that encourage greed and lust. Oh Lord, we confess those to you publicly. We confess those to you as members of this country. We beg for your mercy. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. Do not delay, O Lord. But instead, for the cause of your great name, show us mercy. Bring revival to this country, to our sister countries of Canada and Mexico and China and Japan and Korea. We pray, O Lord, that nations would come to praise you, that corporately nations would come to bow their knees to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so may you gain great glory now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together Psalm 67. I often think of this psalm as an evangelistic psalm of the nations coming to praise him. But you can also sing this as a psalm of national confession. We pray that the Lord would cause his face to shine on us, and that we as a nation would come and give glory to God. We'll sing Psalm 67C. Please stand to praise the Lord.